there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
Let's turn to our Bibles. We'll do the Gospel of Mark. We're going to read a couple passages from 14 toward the end of the Gospel of Mark as we've been walking through this life of Peter. We're going to read verses 26 through 32 and 66 through 72. Hear now the word of God. Now, after they were in the upper room, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You will fall away, Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And then we move further into Mark chapter 14, verse 66 through 72. This is after Jesus has been arrested and taken for trial. And while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You were with the Nazarene, Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow is one of them. Again he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. And immediately the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and he wept. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, as we follow the life of your disciple, Peter, who became a great spiritual leader of the church, we see the roots from where he came from, Lord, and they look similar to us. Help us learn something from this message that you have given in the life of this apostle. Holy Spirit, just teach us your word today. Impart in us your great truth, that we may draw closer to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I think that all of us at one time or another have been involved in things in our life where we must give a confession. Even more than that, we feel compelled as we lay down our lives for something, whatever that may be, your job, your kids, sport team you might play on, anything like that, friends. And in the course of that, you give them your allegiance. You know, you tell them, I'm going to be your best friend, you know, from this point on and forward. I had a good friend when I was probably in fifth, sixth grade, you know, me and Mark. And we grew next door to each other, and we were just best buds. You know, we did everything together in our little neighborhood. But, you know, we had a tightness together. We had an allegiance. We were just good friends, and we thought we would be that way forever. And then along the line, you know, Mark and I got into an argument. Ned and I just parted ways and never talked to each other again. Just all ended. You know, this once allegiance that we had to one another became sort of an indirect denial, I suppose, where we weren't friends anymore, that we didn't talk to one another anymore. And a few years ago, this is probably after, I don't know how long, I mean, 30 years, 40 years maybe of not talking to, maybe 45 years of not talking to Mark, one of my old friends. We had lunch up in Cranberry one day, and he just called out of the blue. And we just talked, and it was nice. and we reminisced about old times. So there was somewhat of a restoration. But it kind of, in a way, as we relate to our friend that we have in Jesus, it's kind of the same thing. And so when we look at Peter's story, it's our story as well. You know, we have a confession that we make before Christ that, yeah, you know, there's something missing, Lord, and I'm sinful and I'm not obedient. We have an allegiance that we give to Him. There's denial in our life too, and Jesus does give us restoration. You know, the example of Peter's life is no mistake, I believe. I've said this before, that he's mentioned in the Gospels far more often than the next apostle, John. And so our journey with the apostle Peter, we're following the story from his introduction, how he hesitates to follow, how he admits his sinfulness before Jesus. He professes his allegiance. He's humiliated in denial. He's restored by Christ. In all of these things, we look at the life of Peter. And so Peter, as we think about it, he now at this point in time, when we look at the verses that we read, the denial, so forth, his allegiance professing that I'll never leave you, Jesus. This is 3 to 3.5 years after Peter has been a disciple of Jesus. This is 3 to 3.5 years after he has walked. You know, they didn't take horses and they didn't have carts and they walked roughly about 3,500 miles together from town to town, from region to region. You know, kind of put that in perspective. That's a lot of walking. I mean, that's almost 100 miles of walking, you know, every month. Isn't that right? That's about right, isn't it? Yeah, 3.5 years. That's about 100 miles of walking every month. A lot of walking, speaking, talking with somebody, settling down in a little town, hearing him preach and teach. From his introduction to Jesus, when he was named the Rock, right? When Andrew introduced him to him, he then sees him 6 months later. He has a large catch of fish, you know, kind of looking at this story of Peter. He falls down at Jesus' feet and he said, "Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man." He confesses his sinfulness to Jesus and he's walking with Jesus. He's listening to his teachings. He's witnessing just awesome miracles. After a year and a half of doing this, then Jesus names, and there's lots of disciples following him, Jesus names his 12 disciples. And Peter's always listed first. If you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first name listed is always Peter. After that, Peter witnesses Jesus coming to them on a boat, walking on the water. And what's Peter do? He says, "Lord, I want to come to you." And he says, "Yeah, come on." And he himself starts walking on the water, but then he does sink. And like the rest of us, has to lift up his hand and say, "Save me, Lord." You know, he walks, and yet he falters in his faith a little bit. And after 2.5 years now, they're meeting together, and Jesus is saying, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter is the first one to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He makes that proclamation about Jesus being the Messiah. And 2 verses later, he desires to stop his mission of going into Jerusalem and fulfilling what he came to do, being that perfect sacrifice for our sins. Peter has an incomplete understanding, even though he was with Jesus 2.5 years, even though Jesus has been telling him, "I have to go to Jerusalem to suffer at the hands of those who would crucify me, and I will be buried, and I will rise again." And he has told the apostles this. He sees Jesus confronting the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And after walking for roughly 3.5 years with Jesus, they come to the triumphal entry, right, into Jerusalem. We celebrate as Palm Sunday, laying down the palms, and Jesus is walking there on the donkey, and the crowds are screaming for him, right? He fulfills biblical prophecy. And in this walk with Jesus, the disciples who are Jewish understand those Old Testament prophecies one by one. It seems like Jesus is fulfilling. And so this is all, you know, coming at Peter. He's a witness of all this. He knows that Jesus is this Son of God. And in the last 5 days before he is betrayed, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Jesus has this intense period of instruction to his disciples. And if you know, roughly the book of John, the Gospel of John, the last 7 days of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, is half of the gospel. It's half of the chapters in the gospel. With Matthew, I think it's 28%, 30%. With Luke, it's roughly around 33%. You know, Mark is the same way, roughly at 25%, something like that. A huge chunk of what we know happened in Jesus' life is that last week. Great teaching that Jesus imparted to the disciples. And so now they find themselves at the Last Supper. And Jesus is with his disciples. And he sends Judas on his way to do his business. The disciples get up and they walk to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in their walk to the Garden of Gethsemane, we find again this interaction with Peter. That when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You will fall away, Jesus told them. And Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. And the Greek for declaration and the Greek for emphatic is a like really charged up, you know, in your face, like there is no way I am going to fall away from you. Even if everybody else does, I'm not going to. I'm loyal to you, Jesus. And he says, I'm telling you, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me 3 times. But Peter again insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And you know, kind of all the others chimed in, said the same thing, but not with the rigor that Peter had. Not with the powerful allegiance that Peter was professing to Jesus. And so they reach Gethsemane, and he takes apart Peter, James, and John. He says, hey, listen, you know, I want you to sit here with me while I pray. And so after all that Peter has witnessed, think about this interaction he just had with Jesus. He's been with him three and a half years. He's witnessed all of this just miraculous stuff and teachings that he's heard that just dug deep in his heart from the greatest teacher that any human being could ever have. He has declared Jesus to be the Son of God, and yet when Jesus says, you know what, you're going to deny me, this is a different way of looking at it. But Peter is already denying Jesus. He's already denying what God is saying. He's saying, no way, you're wrong. I'm right. I'm not going to deny it, right? I mean, it's the classic issue and problem that human beings have. It's wanting your own way, seeing things your own way, not the way God sees it. And so he's denying it. After all, he's been a good disciple. He's attended the seminary of Jesus, right, for 3 years, being taught. He has heard, he has witnessed, and he proudly steps up and professes his allegiance to Jesus. And yet he is told that he will deny his Lord. When Jesus speaks, do we find ourselves in that position? Do you find yourself in a position when you know that through the Holy Spirit who dwells in your heart, now this is not what Peter had at the time, but we have it. Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts, and he speaks to us, and he lets us know what he wants us to do, right? Do we deny the Word of God? Do we deny that prompting of the Spirit that moves us where we should go, but we say, nah, you know, that's not, I don't want to do that. And so Peter, now we go a step further. And so they go to this Garden of Gethsemane. The three of them are Peter, James, and John are there. And Jesus says, hey, listen, stay awake with me. I'm going to pray. And even after, this is like right after that he has sworn this powerful allegiance to Jesus, and Jesus gives him one simple little command and says, hey, listen, just stay awake and keep watching. I'm going to go pray. And he comes back, and what happens? Sleeping. You know, he's already, even after this profound allegiance, he is already beginning to slip away. And so Jesus wakes him up, and he goes and prays again, and he comes back, and what happens? He's sleeping again. So he's getting further away from his obedience to Christ. And the third time, three times now, he comes again, and he has to wake them up. See, Peter isn't seeing the big picture of Christ. And oftentimes in our lives, we miss that whole thing too. You know, when God speaks to us and when he is talking to our hearts and minds and he is directing us where to go and we see God at work around us and we should come to serve him and yet we don't, we deny his word and we look and we say, you know, I don't want to do that now. I know one day I'm going to be in heaven and I'm going to look at the face of Jesus and we're going to talk together and I'm going to ask him, Lord, you know, was I a good and faithful servant? Did I do what you want me to do? And he's going to look and he's like, you know what? Look at all this I wanted you to do. I didn't know you wanted me to do all that. You know, right? And he does it all for our good. So when we are called, but see, we should be living in a living faith, a living walk with Jesus Christ from day to day. It's not just here for an hour. You all know that. I mean, our job as a church is not to come here and meet and talk about Jesus and talk about what he wants and to listen to the word of God proclaimed. That is great and that is good, but that's not the end of it. We are called to go out those doors, and wherever we are, we carry Christ with us. That we have the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells in our hearts, and wherever we go, we are to display Jesus. And when we don't, we are denying him. You see, we're no different than Peter here. We are denying him. When Judas comes and with the soldiers, and they take Jesus away, and in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, tells us that Peter takes out his sword, right, and cuts off the ear of Malchus, the servant, the slave, and Jesus chastises him, and he heals Malchus' ear. And you got to think of Peter in this situation. He looks up. There's guards all around him. He's probably the only one left standing. I mean, the least he maybe stayed till then. But he took off running. So Jesus is now all alone. When confronted with this persecution in the midst of it, even after swearing his allegiance to Christ, takes off. You know, when there's persecution, like, we're not persecuted like those saints of old were. We are not persecuted here like they are in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. We're not persecuted here like they are in China. We have never experienced anything like that. But, beloved, this society and this world is changing. And whether it's in our lifetime or not, we're going to suffer that persecution. And you're going to have to do one of two things, fight or flight. Isn't that what happens in the midst of a serious situation? You choose one of those two alternatives. You know, what will you do? You know, I think of those that are in the midst of persecution in a real way, and that's our soldiers. Soldiers in Iraq. I mean, these soldiers have sworn allegiance. These soldiers, as scared as they may be, they have to continue to do their duty. As scared as they may be, they want to do it for the sake of all of us back here, that we can speak freely and we're not persecuted like they are on the battlefield. You know, it's a good example, I think. And are there soldiers that flee away? Yeah, there are. You know, not many of them. It's more the case that, no, they stay and they fight. But that's not what Peter did. So he flees, but there's something in his heart, though. There's something going on with Peter, because even though he flees, there's something that keeps drawing him back to Jesus. And so kind of on the outskirts, you know, as he sees Jesus from afar in this trial, they have him, you know, chained and beaten and ripped his beard and hair out and you know, probably black eyes and bruised face and everything. And Peter's seeing all this, and while he can't go to him because he's too scared, at least he's like kind of he's seeing it happen. And he didn't totally run away. There was something in his heart that drew him there. He just can't seem to cut ties with Jesus that easily. Maybe he's ashamed of running in the first place. I don't know. But what happens next? He's confronted with his association with Jesus. He denies him three times, and the rooster crows. See, Jesus knows the heart of man, we read in the second chapter of the Gospel of John. He knows what's in all of our hearts. And so Peter, even after three personal years of walking with the Son of God, could not be pure in his faith. And so he leaves. He's distraught. He sees what he just did. He understands it. He weeps. He's ashamed. There's this deep emotional upheaval in his life because of what he had just done over the course of about 6 hours. He denied his friend. He denied his Lord. Now that's the last that we hear about Peter. And Jesus goes through, until Jesus goes through his crucifixion, his burial. The next time we hear about Peter is in the Gospel of John, and he is the one running to the empty tomb after the women came back and said, he's not there. How many of us would do that? I mean, you know, how could you, have just totally denied your best friend, your Lord, your captain, your king, and 3 days later, you're the first one to run to the tomb. See, Peter goes through these ups and downs in his life and his relationship with Christ. And so for 40 days, Jesus is walking, and he meets with his disciples. And the last time that they meet, they're by the Sea of Galilee again. This kind of whole thing comes full circle. You know, where Jesus was in Peter's boat on the Sea of Galilee, and there was a large catch of fish. And Peter says, depart from me, I am a sinful man. It now comes to the same spot on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus is standing there, and their boats are out, and they're fishing again. And Jesus says, cast your nets over there. And they draw a huge amount of fish again. And Peter looks, and he sees, he recognizes, he knows it's Jesus. And once again, he runs to him on the shore. All comes full circle. And Jesus forgives Peter, and he restores him. And so we read in the last Gospel of John, when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, tend my lambs. And he said again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. And yet a third time, he said to Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said this to him a third time. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Peter's restored. He's not yet what he's going to be. But he is restored to Jesus. There is nothing in your life that you can do bad enough as a child of the living God where you can't be restored again to Jesus Christ. That is grace, beloved. That is grace. He rescues you like he did Peter. You are in the same position that Peter will soon be. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. So when his Spirit speaks, listen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you once again for the example of Peter. He parallels our lives. We look at his life and we see ourselves there. We see that there's times when we have given you allegiance. We've seen that there has times when we have professed you as Son of God. We see that there's times when, Lord, you just watch us doing stupid stuff, saying the wrong things, doing the wrong things, thinking the wrong things even. But yet you still restore a contrite heart. You still restore those who just can't seem to get away from you because you draw us to yourself. And what a privilege that is. You rescue us, Lord, from our own foolish thoughts and endeavors and ways in which we're disobedient to you. You are an awesome God. What a privilege it is. And so help us in our faith, increase our faith, that our actions may reflect you more and better each day. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk the path of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.